We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Paul's report is brought to you by Jaguan Physical Therapy. Get back to the life you love. By Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance by CSEA Local 830. We work for you, and by Group 4 Auto, 4 is always less. Mr. Dottino, I don't really think you need to get too involved in the Hall of Fame debate for Eli Manning. I think we know what side you come down on, right?
There's only one side, Richard. I mean, anybody who thinks otherwise doesn't understand the game of football. It's really that simple.
Don't be dismissive now. I guess I'm going to have to let you make your case.
Hey, there are opinions, and opinions are fine when they're based on fact and logic. Fact and logic tells you Eli Manning's a Hall of Famer, and I just don't see there much of a debate.
Did you happen to see the New York Times piece yesterday, which was a very strong analytic piece, basically taking the opposite viewpoint? Did you see that?
I did not.
Okay, well, take a look at it. I mean, I think it's debatable. I come down on your side. I do think he should be a Hall of Famer, too. But, you know, people who don't think so point to the record, point to the passer ratings, point to the fact that other than the two Super Bowl runs, he didn't win another playoff game. But I think if you look at being in a top 10 in most of these passer categories, yards, touchdowns, all that kind of stuff, how can you deny it?
Well, look at it this way, Richard. The people who want to throw stones at those glass houses will point to that team stat, the team one-loss record. And you and I both know that to win a game in the National Football League requires more than just a quarterback. Eli's roster wilted around him for the last several years, specifically his offensive line. So to put that on him is ridiculous. And then, of course, the other part to being a Hall of Famer is, what did the guy mean to the fabric of the team? The fact that he was a captain, the fact that, you know, he was unquestionably one of the great leaders in New York sports history. When you consider what Eli Manning's intangibles brought to the table. Remember, he was never a stat monger. This is a guy who didn't care about his completion percentage, didn't care about how many interceptions were thrown, how many guys dropped passes, or any of that stuff. All he wanted to do was help his team win. And if it meant it was going to negatively affect his stats, he did not care, because he had to do everything he could to try to win. So, hey, he did it at the expense of numbers that allow critics to try to throw stones at him. I got no problem with that at all.
Yeah, indeed. What did you see? Were there any surprises yesterday in the press conference, or did you just get vintage Eli? To me, it's exactly what I expected him to do. I wasn't surprised. Were you?
No, not by anything Eli said. The thing that surprised me, only because nobody would confirm it, because I think only a few people may have known about it when John Mara said no one would wear the number 10 again. I think those of us who believe, you know, Eli's a Hall of Famer, or even if you don't, we all would have said, yeah, I could understand they're going to retire his number. But none of us knew that. And John slipped that in the last line of his introduction to Eli. No one will wear the 10 again. And, you know, the story is legendary. I used to talk to Wellington Mara all the time when Harry Carson and George Martin were co-captains on the team. And I used to ask Mr. Mara, you know, is there any way that you would consider retiring those numbers? And, you know, since the early 70s, when Joe Morrison's number 40 had been retired, the Giants had not done so with anyone else. And Mr. Merritt explained to me that because of the way the positions were now attached to certain number groupings by the NFL, by those rules that had been put in, they had run out of so many numbers earlier in their franchise history, it was going to really be impossible to do any more. Well, lo and behold, as things turned out later on, they did retire 11 for Sims, and they did retire 56 for Lawrence Taylor. Wellington Mara broke his own rule and did retire those two guys. Yesterday, when talking to John Mara, about Eli's 10, he said that was an easy decision. So he followed his father's suit and put number 10 on that list, and did say that at some point, you know, there'll be an announcement coming. You know, there's going to be a 92 for Strahan also.
Yeah, for sure. Let me, you know, I pulled up that Hoffman article, Benjamin Hoffman from the Times, and I'll throw some of these things at you and see what you think. He said, in the group post-merger now, Eli was third in passing yards, third in touchdowns, seventh in passer rating, and sixth in adjusted net yards per attempt. He was more productive over the course of his career than Kurt Warner, Bob Greasy, Roger Staubach, and more efficient than Joe Namath, Terry Bradshaw, and Ken Stabler. On the other hand, Manning would also be fourth in interceptions, and his career record of 117-117 would make him one of only two players in that group, along with Namath, who doesn't have a winning record in the regular season.
And I refer to you what I just said about a minute and a half ago. The team one loss record is not the product of only the quarterback. His one loss record is the product of a roster that wilted over the last several years. I mean, you know, if that's the best argument that he can come up with, and then the interception number, which of course we also talked about, Eli was like, fine, whatever's got to be done, let it wreck my stats. I need to help these guys win games. If those are the only two arguments that the critics can come up with, well, guess what? They drown real fast.
Well, here's more. Okay. I'm just being devil's advocate here. I want to have a full debate on this thing. Okay. Of all the quarterbacks who have started at least 100 games since 1990, he's not top five player in any major stat. His passer rating is 84-1. It ranks 27th since 1990. Adjusted net yards per attempt, 29th, 20th in percentage of throws that resulted in touchdowns. 30 other quarterbacks had a fewer percentage on their throws and interceptions. So he said, for all the gaudy passing numbers, he's never had a season leading the NFL in any major passing statistic except for interceptions.
Okay, now I think that gentleman, if he really wants to go stat-wise, which of course I'm not real high on that because stats never tell the whole story, but if he really wants to do that, he needs to go look at Eli's fourth quarter comebacks, game-winning drives, and overtime wins, of which, of course, he is top 10 all-time in the NFL, which if you really want to get to the measure of what a true great quarterback is, you go to the Ernie Accorsi definition, which says, if my quarterback needs a touchdown to win the game, and it's on the line in the final moments, can he drive us the length of the field to win the game? Oh, yeah, Eli did that against the Patriots, the undefeated Patriots, twice in the Super Bowl, beat Belichick and Brady. Do we really need to discuss that any further? Well, I mean, really, Richard, it's hysterical. It's hysterical. The critics who come up with this stuff, they point to hollow numbers that carry
also,
no weight.
You're also arguing both sides here because on one hand, you're saying it's not just the quarterback who wins games. And on the other hand, Tyree's incredible catch, Mannheim's incredible catch, all of that, had that ball not been completed, had Tyree not caught it against his helmet, that drive sputters, and they don't win.
Well, how do we know?
It is a team game, right?
I know. The Tyree pass was a third down pass. How do you know that Eli was not going to complete a fourth down pass to keep the drive alive? You don't know that.
Possible. Yeah, I don't know.
And by the way, Eli made half of that play, which is why it's the greatest play in not only Super Bowl history, but NFL history, because it was part of what destroyed the Patriots' chance to run into the record books. And his escape is half of that play. The escape is almost, when you consider, especially the rush and the number of guys who got a hand on him, the escape is almost as miraculous as the helmet catch.
Okay.
Doubles the value of the play.
The other argument is Jim Plunkett has two Super Bowl rings.
Not one Super Bowl MVP, only half of Eli's. That one loses too.
Okay. Could we say possibly that because the defense really was a huge factor in the Giants winning both Super Bowls, that because there were so many different defensive contributors, that Eli got the MVP because he's the quarterback?
Well, the only thing I can say to that, because we all know that MVPs in a lot of ways in Super Bowls do tend to gravitate toward the quarterbacks in a lot of ways, even when they don't necessarily have the, quote, best game. I mean, I get that. So that's a generic argument that I think can be floated at any time during the Super Bowl because the QBs are magnets for it. But I think we would say that, A, the winning touchdown pass to Burris, which, by the way, was a lookover to Burris because he saw the man-to-man coverage on Hobbs, understood what was going on because of his football acumen. Burris knew because of his football acumen, was on the same page. Eli turns, looks, winks at him, and throws the winning touchdown pass to Hobbs. You could easily say that maybe a lesser quarterback doesn't see that coverage the way it's supposed to be, doesn't have the relationship and the preparation and the study that he had with his wide receiver, and so maybe that winning touchdown pass does not happen with a lesser quarterback. So you could still certainly give Eli Manning a ton of credit for throwing the touchdown that actually beat the Patriots in Arizona.
Okay, I'm gonna read his summation. I'm gonna give you the last word, and then we're gonna close the book on this, and Eli will be in the Hall of Fame. Okay,
you got it.
He says, in the end, he appears to fall below what most likely will be the standard for induction. He was a good but not great player with a 500 record whose case is almost based entirely on a pair of postseason runs powered largely by his team's defense. To elect him would be to ignore the numbers and simply declare the two most brilliant days of his career to be enough to earn a gold jacket. Now, a similar argument worked wonders for Namath, but has been routinely ignored for Plunkett. How it will work out for Manning is anyone's guess, but when Giant fans bristle that the idea that they should remember this, no matter what happens, Manning played David to Brady's Goliath twice, and that is a legacy that does not require a Buston Canton to be unforgettable.
Well, I think that gentleman needs to be reminded of a couple of things. First of all, when you talk about the postseason, if he really wants to throw those team stat records in there, which obviously he wants to use as one of the reasons to keep Eli out, he should remind himself that Eli Manning 8-4 in the postseason. He should also remind himself that in the Super Bowl era, Eli Manning was 7-2 as a postseason underdog. Now, this is for a guy who wants to use one-loss records for quarterbacks as a reason to keep him out. I don't like that reason. I think that quarterback records are garbage. But if he wants to use that, the more important record is Eli 7-2 as a postseason underdog. Knocked off Rodgers, knocked off Brady twice. Knocked off some guy named, Brett Favre. Yeah, took care of him in Lambeau Field. Rodgers in Lambeau Field. Knocked off the Dallas Cowboys when Romo was having his career year and the Cowboys were supposed to be unbeatable. I mean, seriously, the guy's got a tissue paper argument and he loses. It's that simple.
Okay, that's the last word from Paul Dottino. Thanks, Paul. We'll talk to you again soon.
You got it, Richard.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.